This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Never the bridesmaid, never the bride. That's the story of my life.
What happened?
I just saw that they just announced the 2018 inductees into the National Radio Hall of Fame. I've been passed by once again.
Oh, who made it this time?
Let's see. Mark Levin. He's syndicated by Westwood One. He made it in spoken word format, on-air personality. And then Kid Kelly, who I've never heard of, he's on Sirius XM Hits One. He made the music format.
Okay, who's voting these people in?
Personality. I think listeners do, because I know that there was a talk host down in Atlanta, and he begged his listeners for months and months and months to vote for him for the National Radio Hall of Fame. So I was just trying to find, it's the worst website I've ever seen. I was just trying to find, because they have a category for local talk, but I can't figure out how to navigate to it. So you know who was nominated this year was Bob Rivers.
Okay.
Our old buddy.
And that, yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, Bob was dominant here in Seattle for many, many years. I'm still very close friends with him. He and I, we ended up talking for about 2 hours last week on the phone. He's making honey and maple syrup back in Vermont or something.
In other words, he's happily retired?
He's not retired.
Isn't that part of it? You're retired?
I don't think so, because this music guy that won, the kid guy, Kid Galley, he's still on the air.
Oh.
Yeah. So here's who's nominated. Active, local, and regional. All you have to have been is 10 years or more. And it was Jonathan Brandmeier in Chicago, Preston and Steve in Philadelphia, some guy named Jim Harper in Detroit, and Bob Rivers in Seattle was nominated. And then they have long-standing local regional, 20 years or more. See, I could make that category, the 20-year or more category.
Quite frankly, so could I.
What's it going to take?
Someone nominating us?
But who? I don't know how to do this.
I haven't seen you nominated for the Above and Beyond Award yet, so this could be a long shot.
You know what? I have never won anything, except a couple of Murrows, national Murrows. Uh-huh. But I can't even win that stupid King 5 thing. What's that thing they do?
The best of.
Best of.
Western Washington.
I can't even win that. But that's because I refuse to play the game.
Exactly.
Maybe it's because you just called it stupid.
Well, no. It's stupid because I haven't won it. Not because the event itself is stupid.
The other part of it is some of these, it's like you vote for yourself.
Well, no. The reason they include a radio category like in the King 5 one is then they're hoping that all the hosts will tell their listeners, go and vote to give them all these clicks, and I refuse to play that game. And so I've never won anything.
You know what? If you were to wage a public campaign and say, hey, I would never do. I know, but if you were, because there is this, the inductees by public vote, and there's those two, you said Mark Levin.
Wait a second! I just saw a third! You gotta
and
be kidding me.
There's also an industry panel that
fabulous sports babe just got inducted. Now that's outrageous.
Hey, why?
Because when she was in Seattle, she had like 1/10 the listeners that our show had.
And then again, I would say you need to do more self-promotion, which is unlike you.
I don't like doing that.
I know, but that's what it takes. Otherwise, you have to just ignore these things. Who cares? Radio Inc.
Sports babe. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ignore this. Anyway, that's it. Those are the new inductees. That's the big story here. That's the latest inductees here in the National Radio.
And the only one who cares really is Dory.
I actually don't. I can think of few things I care about less than industry awards, as clearly demonstrated by my lack of any.
I enjoy industry awards, like if the Murrows, I think those are
important. Always happy for you and for when, you know, because the station does great.
Yes.
And you always coordinate that.
Yes.
I just personally don't have an interest in industry awards. You know what my award is? These people listening right
that
now.
That is true.
That's all I care about. It's the only
Ultimately,
thing I care about.
That's what we care about.
Yes. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Have we gotten the results of the House vote yet on the fate of the sea lions on the Columbia River? Because that's supposed to come down this afternoon. And the U.S. House of Representatives has a bipartisan bill which, if passed, will allow officials to kill.
Approved.
It was approved?
It was approved.
So the sea lion kill is on? Does it have to go anywhere else? Does it have to go to the Senate? What happens to the bill?
Yeah,
maybe if I knew some of these things, I could get in the National Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It's not a done deal.
Okay, yet. So one of the supporters was Republican Jamie Herrera Butler from Washington, and then a Democrat, Kurt Schrader from Oregon. But they say this is must-pass piece of legislation if we want to save our iconic salmon. Because what's going on here is in the Columbia River, the salmon run is way down for a variety of reasons. And the sea lion population has just exploded. And if you go, I mean, I've been to some dock areas where the sea lions are just lounging around.
Oh, yeah.
They'll take fish off a fisherman's line if they're fishing off the dock. And of course, famously, we had Herschel at the Ballard Locks. What was that, about 20 years ago?
He would be doing, like, backstroke, practically. I mean, he would just be...
Yeah. He'd hang out by the fish ladder.
Out there.
It was a gathering point. It was like the Royal Fork. The fish, if they wanted to get from Puget Sound and from Shoal Shoal, if they wanted to get up into Lake Washington, and then they could migrate into the streams that feed Lake Washington so that they could lay their eggs. And by the way, is there anything more fascinating than the migration of salmon? I can think of few things in nature.
It actually is really cool.
They live, they're born in freshwater. And then they go down rivers and through lakes, and then they cross over into the sea, and then they can live in salt water. And I think everything I'm saying is true because I'm going off a film strip that I saw at James Monroe Junior High in eighth grade. But then they go into the sea and they live their life, and they have wonderful lives in the sea, and they get involved in philanthropy and all sorts of things, and then they make this magical journey to die, but it's an almost impossible journey where they're jumping up over waterfalls and rocks. And,
yeah.
And then they go back from salt water into fresh water.
There is a life lesson in there.
Somehow they find the place where they were born, and then they die there. And after dropping eggs and fertilizing the eggs and doing what you have to do to procreate. Now, that was a Hall of Fame recap.
Yeah, we're going to submit that.
That was serious.
Send that one.
Serious
Nicole,
oversight
send
on that.
That to the Hall of Fame nominating committee,
magical
would you please?
Telling.
But in all seriousness, what could be more mystical and magical and spiritual than the life of the salmon? So anyway... Mm-hmm. So the sea lions are just sitting and eating them and picking them off.
Which really, they're more concerned about the orcas because the sea lions are eating so many that the orcas aren't getting enough.
Well, I'm concerned about both the salmon and the orcas.
Yeah.
But I'm also somewhat concerned about the sea lions because they're going to start shooting them in the head.
I know. That's a little sad to me.
Because with Herschel, yeah, I mean, all they're doing is what's their instinct, and they're hungry. And so there's a salmon. Yum, yum. And so... They're only being themselves, and I feel a little bad for the sea lions, I guess.
So it's only supposed to go through a House vote today, there was going to be debate on it first.
I just figured out what
Circle
you said.
Of life.
No, I thought you said a House vote.
No, House vote, not a done deal.
I couldn't figure that out. Okay, all right. So they're not They're not walking, dead fish walking yet, is what you're telling me.
Not yet.
Okay. But I guess we'll have to kill the sea lion. The thing is, with Herschel, they tried the loud noises, and they tried explosives, and then they tried relocation.
Right.
And he would keep coming back to the Ballard logs.
He was persistent.
Yeah. You can take the sea lion out of Ballard, but you can't take the Ballard out of this.
No, I think it's the other way around.
Again. Okay.
Up next in the Fastest 15. So you may recall, during the presidential campaign, there was a moment on late night television that did Donald Trump a great, great favor. And that was when he went on Jimmy Fallon's show. And Jimmy Fallon, at one point, leaned over and asked Donald Trump if he could muss his hair. Remember that? Because everyone was wondering, is Trump's hair real? A lot of people thought it was a toupee. And plus, people just thought that Trump was a little too staid and just didn't want to participate in something like that. Do you have the audio of that, Nicole? Okay, so here's that moment from a couple of years ago on the campaign trail with Jimmy Fallon and Donald Trump.
Donald, I want to ask you, because the next time I see you, you could be the president of the United States. I just wanted to know if there's something we could do that's just not presidential, really, or something that we can do now that we're just both civilians. Like
what? This is... I'm not liking the sound of this. Go ahead.
Can I mess your hair up?
I'm being gentle. Okay.
The answer is yes, but the people in New Hampshire, where I'm going to be in about an hour from now, I hope they're going to understand.
Okay. You say yes?
Go ahead. With my hairstyle.
Okay, so then he musses up Trump's hair, and a lot of people said, you know what? That was cool of Trump. And it humanized him in contrast to Hillary, who was so robotic and just seemed so distant as a real person. And so that was one of the moments that's been credited as kind of giving Trump a boost. Well, Jimmy Fallon, he was asked on this podcast about humanizing Trump because he is getting criticized now by the left. They're saying, you're the reason that Trump got humanized, and so you're the reason he got elected.
Sure, I was depressed. I mean, yeah, everyone was pretty down. I mean, you know, but I'm not now. I'm not depressed. It was 2 years ago. I have a show to do. I'm paid to make people laugh. I have to get over it and move on. And that's my job, is to make you have a good time and forget about stuff. I'm a goofball.
So he's telling his audience a couple nights ago that, yes, I was depressed, that I humanized Trump, and that everyone was criticizing me. And he explained why.
So I go, I'm going to get in there and I'll touch it. And I'll tell you if it's real. And we've asked him for years. He's a reality star on NBC. He's been on our show 10 times. And we always ask him. He's like, no, thanks. I've had his hair bark at me. I had different stuff like that. And so I messed his hair up and it flew up. It's definitely a real comb over. It is unbelievable. And it went up. It was like beating egg whites. It just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Okay, so the last few days, there's been this big criticism of Jimmy Fallon. You helped humanize Trump. He wouldn't be president. So Trump goes on Twitter 2 nights ago and says, you know, after the show, Fallon called me and said, monster ratings. Thank you for doing that. And Fallon, according to Trump, Fallon was just so grateful that Trump agreed to do that. So Trump says, he told me it got monster ratings. Now he's whining about it. Come on, Fallon, be a man. And now Jimmy Fallon is denying that he ever called Trump after that show.
And he said he called and said monster ratings. First of all, I've never called this human in my life. I don't have his number. I don't want his number. And monster ratings. I don't know what that.
I don't think you even said monster cables and monster ratings.
I've never said monster ratings. I don't know what he's talking about. By the way, Donald, I don't know if you've seen my ratings the past 2 years. You didn't help my ratings.
That's true. He's getting killed now relative to a couple of years ago. Colbert, who's just all slam Trump all the time. Colbert's gotten traction with that. So last night, Trump's in South Carolina at a rally, And at that rally, he went off, not just on Fallon, but on all the late night hosts. I thought this was pretty entertaining.
Did you see Jimmy Fallon? Jimmy Fallon. The guy screws up my hair. It's going back and forth. He was so disappointed to find out it was real. He couldn't believe it. Well, that's one of the great things I got. Everybody used to say, my hair's phony. It's not my hair. I'm wearing a hairpiece. You know what hair... Anybody here wearing a hairpiece? No? No? But the one thing, they never say that anymore, because I've been caught in rainstorms. I've been caught in winds that are like 60 miles an hour getting off. If it's not your hair, don't run for office, folks. Don't run. Do not run for office, because the gig would be up. So... Jimmy Fallon apologized. He apologized for humanizing me. Can you, the poor guy, because now he's going to.
By the way, I just find this whole rant by Trump to be hilarious. And this is one of the reasons he connects with people. This is not a typical politician, but this is what he did on the campaign trail, and this is what he did last night. And I think it's hilarious.
Lose all of us, you know? And now he's going to lose all of us. If somebody would open a talk show at night, because the guy on CBS is. Is what a low life. What a low life. I mean, honestly, are these people funny? And I can laugh at myself. If, frankly, if I couldn't, I'd be in big trouble. But there's no talent. They're not like talented people. Johnny Carson was talented. Some of these guys. No, seriously. I mean, this guy on CBS has no talent. Jimmy Kimmel would meet me before the election. I'm telling you a true story. I don't even think you'd deny it.
It just went on and on. I'll play it later for you in awesome audio, too. All right, there you go. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Tell you what, I need some redemption. I have lost the last few times in Name That Artist. When Dave Wyman drops by for his weekly visit, Dave Wyman next on the Dory Monson. Oh, I know.
George Benson.
Oh!
That was good job, Dave.
Is that right?
Yeah, George Benson.
Yes. I even saw him in concert.
You're going down today, Mr.
Oh, man.
You saw George Benson in concert?
Maybe, possibly, the most boring concert I've ever seen in my entire life. He had one move. The only song I wanted to hear was On Broadway. Uh-huh. And he would stand, he was wearing this white suit, and every few minutes he would put his right hand over his heart and then extend his arm straight out. And that was his only move.
Didn't he play the guitar?
Yeah. But then he'd stop playing, and then he'd do the hand extension. And that was the only move he had. And the girl that I took, Dave, it was our first date. I'd had a crush on her in high school. She was a year older than me, but a grade younger than me. And it took all the nerve in the world for me to call her. And she went, and it was just a disaster.
Evening end?
Horrible.
Was bad.
Yeah.
She was, like,
me trying to make awkward talk and just dropping her off at the door.
She wanted you to give her night back.
Yeah. Oh, man. Dave Wyman is with us for his usual Tuesday visit. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Speaking of dating, so I was looking at that ESPN, the body issue. Have you been checking that out?
I saw Greg Norman.
Yeah.
Somehow I...
60-year-old Greg Norman nude.
You know why? Because Moyer texted us the pictures.
Right.
Like, I could have successfully avoided the body issue because I don't care to see... A 65-year-old man's ass.
What I've discovered is the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, which is some of my favorite childhood memories. I don't even open it now. I saw it in my office couple weeks ago, and the binder was completely uncrackled. I hadn't even opened it. I had no interest at all.
It is sad what happens to us, right?
Oh, man. But I had an idea. So two Seattle superstars, Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, who are a couple off the field in court, that they're prominently featured. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if one of these years Sports Illustrated featured like platonic guy friends who have some sports background? And I was thinking, you and me, we should audition for next year's cover.
The boys of radio? Radio folk?
The worst-selling Playboy issue ever. The boys of radio.
I'll tell you what, I say this a lot. I would rather be caught pantsless than shirtless at age 54. You know, you just don't take your clothes off when you get to that age.
Oh,
nobody needs to see that. Nobody needs to see it. Even though Greg Norman did look good. I mean, he's fit, right?
Oh, yeah.
I still don't need to see it, though.
No, you don't. By the way, just one last quick thing, because 4th of July is coming up, and we're going to a friend's down the lake, and we're going to be doing some boating and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this new Norelco razor, and the new Norelco triple head. They've removed the trimmer feature from it.
Oh, where you can pop it up and...
Pop it up and trim. Yeah. My chest ain't going to shave itself before the fourth day.
Oh, you're not a landscaper, are you?
Oh, yeah. Really? Absolutely I am.
Yeah, I could have lived not knowing that.
So I had to plug in my old Norelco razor. So I've got one now for shaving my face. And now I've got one that I'll hardly ever use for trimming up stuff.
God, this is getting worse. Please play a song. Anyway, go ahead.
No.
What does it have
to do?
It's
not time yet.
Don't blow your hand up.
It's not
this 4th of July.
I won't. I promise I won't. I don't. I watch the fireworks from afar.
Yeah.
Okay, got some sports stuff to talk about, believe it or not. So in the world of football, Jameis Winston, who I think when the Tampa Bay Bucks were on Hard Knocks, you watched it, I watched it, I remember talking about it, and we both said, what a nice young man.
Yeah.
He just seemed, you know, humble beginnings, would go back, visit his family. They kind of lived in, one of those southern shacks almost.
Right.
And he just seemed like a really good, humble, grounded guy. And it just, man, it stinks to hear about what he's been suspended for now.
Yeah, and the thing is there were some things about him in college where I guess he stole, I said shrimp on our show, and everybody was all pissed off because it was crab. Okay, sorry, I'll correct myself. I knew it was some kind of seafood he stole. But yeah, he had that. He had something where he jumped up on a table and screamed out some obscene stuff. And then there was
that him?
Yeah. And then there was an investigation of a sexual assault or something like that, which I guess he either got out of or whatever. They didn't have enough proof for it. So, yeah, he had some rough stuff in his past. But, yeah, you're right. You see him on Hard Knocks, and you see that he's a good guy, and I think he's a good teammate. But his problem is he's a jackass.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps people out of the league. Their personalities, man. And that's why I always discount, some of these guys coming out like Josh Rosen out of UCLA. Like, the kid's an idiot. And so that's going to affect you, and you need to grow up.
I didn't know about Winston's background in college and things you just told me. The most recent thing was he grabbed an Uber driver. And so now he's been suspended for 3 games this upcoming season. Well, it's kind of like that pitcher for Oregon State, who when he was 15 years old, he admitted to molesting a 6-year-old relative. And he would have been maybe a first-round draft pick. He was the best pitcher in the Pac-12. And nobody took him in whatever they do, 30, 40 rounds of the draft. And now supposedly the Kansas City Royals are thinking about signing him. But do you sign somebody who has, and in this guy's case, maybe it's a single transgression, but maybe it's not. Do you give a guy a chance who does something that horrible 5-6 years ago?
Boy, it would be a tough sell for a lot of owners. You know, I mean, look, this is the face, you're the owner of a team, and all of a sudden this guy's the face of what you are about, And the thing is, I always say, look, if you, you have a transgression, you apologize for it, you're sincerely, fixed and everything, then, yeah, you should be given a second chance. But, man, it's a tough one these days, The image thing is really hard to overcome. And then, so he grabbed an Uber driver.
Winston did.
Yeah, Jameis Winston. So, yeah, it's just that's a tough one, not only for the image side of it, but also, like I said, the guy's a jackass. You got to stop that. It's time to grow up.
Well, the problem is when, especially like in basketball in particular, but I'm sure it's true in every sport, once you're identified as a great prospect, the sleaziest human beings alive, which is some people in the AAU community. They sink their tentacles into you and your family, and they start telling you at 11 or 12 how great you are, and these people start paying for you to travel all around the country. And if that's happening to you when you're 12, 13, 14, it's tough to grow up with a sense of perspective. It's really tough to be a well-balanced kid, you know, by the time you get to college or to the pros.
Yeah. Well, and just look at it. I mean, and I do have sympathy for the kids nowadays. You have to be much more squared away. Look, you can't have any. Some of the stuff that I did, I got kicked out of my junior prom because I was in a car where there was champagne. We were drinking. You know, I got kicked out. I don't know if I'd have got into Stanford if that was, you know, on my record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and so, yeah, you got to be squared away now because everything gets reported. Everything, there's more pressure. And, you know, like you mentioned with athletes, I mean, shoot, there's kids at age 16. That are committing or getting
exactly.
promises as far as scholarships.
Right. James Osborne.
James Osborne?
No.
Doesn't he work here at the station?
Oh, no. This is...
yeah, it's Boy Howdy.
Yeah, it's Boy Howdy.
Who am I thinking?
He does sing, though, sometimes.
California, California something?
No.
Caribbean.
Yes.
Caribbean Queen.
Yes.
Okay.
Caribbean Queen.
Yeah, I don't... is this Lionel Richie?
No.
No. Is it... Something Osborne?
No.
I can picture
but the
dude.
Last name starts with an O.
Oh, shoot.
I got no guess.
Okay, Dave still has 1-0 lead. Who is it?
Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean!
Oh, Billy Ocean.
Crying out loud.
I was shocked, however, that Dave got George Benson. I thought you were going to get that
one. I did, too.
Yeah, yeah having gone to his concert and all.
Yeah, I was just sulking because I could feel the date going so horribly wrong. Okay, Dave Wyman is with us. We have lots more to do as our weekly visit with Dave continues here on the Dory Monson Show.
Come on. This is my wheelhouse right here.
This is one that I have no chance at.
Rock of Ages.
Pantera.
No.
I don't know. If I take a shot, you can't say no with such condescension. At least I'm trying.
It's not AC/DC, is it?
It's not.
I know this. I'm going to be kicking myself.
And I know that I don't know.
It's an animal that's hard of hearing.
Def Leppard!
Yeah! Jory with the win.
I don't get credit for that.
You know what? You should, because that is shameful that I didn't get Def Leppard.
I don't get credit for that.
I give it up.
You both are surprising me today.
It's still 1-0.
It's awful.
Still 1-0. I saw a play, I think it was called, a Broadway show called Rock of Ages, when all of us were back in New York City for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, you went to that.
And one night, Brock Huard and his lovely wife Molly and Danny O'Neill and I went and saw a play called Rock of Ages.
I think you and Danny are a very well-suited date.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the few people shorter than me, so I could have him on my arm. Yeah, so I'm sure that it was based on that song.
Did Brock blush? Like, he didn't realize that all those songs were about sex, and then when they showed all
Brock
that...
Brock was very uncomfortable. Brock and Molly thought about walking out of the
really?
Show. Yeah, and we were in, like, first row or second. We had great, great seats, you know, just dead center.
Maybe too good for Brock. Too good a seat.
Thought about walking out, yeah, which I respect. I respect people who are willing to live their faith like that. So, speaking of which, although we're really not thinking about this. So, Tom Brady, I played this on my show last week, and we had a robust debate about this. Tom Brady went to a U2 concert last week with his lovely wife, Giselle.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he's holding out his phone and doing a selfie video because he's apparently a huge U2 fan. And Giselle, he'll pan over to her, and she couldn't be lovelier. And she's dancing and swaying to the music. And Tom Brady is, here. Okay, so that's Bono, of course. And then Tom Brady thinks, oh, it's time for me to jump in.
Oh,
Okay, mercifully, that's all right, I have.
So he had control of putting that on?
Yeah, he recorded it. He posted it. He shared it. So we had a robust debate, and Ursula said, good for him. You go to a concert, and if you want to sing along, that's what you should do. And I was thinking, if his phone, because he's got his phone at arm's length, if his phone can hear him that clearly, anybody sitting within an arm's length of him can hear him that clearly. And I don't want to hear Tom Brady. I want to hear Bono.
Yeah. Well, don't you think everybody's singing, though, singing along? And you can still hear Bono over somebody singing in front of you,
but
right?
It's ruined.
Well, I'm with Ursula because, look, I think, like, you know the whole thing with Russell Wilson? Like, he does some goofy things.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed.
Mr. Unlimited. You know when he does that stuff? I was like, he's just kind of dorky, and I love that. I like that he is that kind of a person. That just seems to me that
like the,
Tom Brady's a regular guy.
I kind of like that he was willing to record and post that.
Right.
I just wouldn't want to sit next to him at the concert. The other thing I couldn't figure out is they appear to be up in a luxury suite. If you have Tom Brady's money, wouldn't you sit front row or row two if it's a show you... And remember, Tom Brady's the second biggest earner in the family.
Right.
I mean, if you had Tom and Giselle's money, would you sit way up in a luxury suite? Those are lousy seats for a concert.
That's true, but if they were sitting down there, don't you think they would just constantly get... And maybe they thought it would be too big of a deal.
In Boston...
Yeah.
Yeah. They right. just mobbed the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty bad. I went to an Elton John concert in Denver when Shannon and I, when I was playing in Denver. Mm-hmm. And there's two ladies in front of us that talked the entire time. And they were just turned toward each other, just talking to one another. And, you know, and it wasn't like the loudest concert in the world. That drove me nuts.
I just went, I think I may have told you about this. I went to see a nice little cover band in Bellevue about a year ago with some friends of ours. And there are two guys sitting to my left and they're talking, but they got to yell the whole time just to have a conversation. And that's, I wished I was your size. I wished that I could have just cleaned house. But I'm not. I'm my size. So just sat there and listened.
You should have pulled the George Costanza. AC/DC.
Nice.
Well, again, you went with two songs that I had no chance at.
I thought you were going to get Billy Ocean and George Benson, man. It's not my fault.
Thank you, Sean DeTore.
Man. I had two for you and two for Dave, and it just so happened you two are wearing different pants today.
How about four for us? Four for us
I'm
should
wearing
be the
Doris
goal.
Pants?
Yes.
Yuck.
All right. You can hear Dave Wyman most days, although you're preempted by Mariners baseball.
Mariner baseball this week.
Today and tomorrow, Thursday?
I'm doing Brock and Salk this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Good
Monday,
for you.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it really good for me?
Yeah.
I got to get up at 5:30.
Yeah. Well, it's not bad. It's not that bad. It's good for it. Okay. Dave wins again. 2-0. And thanks for coming in, Dave.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dor.
It. And we have
thanks,
lots Sean. More straight ahead. The big lead at 2 is next. On the Dory Monson Show.